Welcome back into the student section here on 90.7 The Capstone. Zach Tigard, Eric Evenson, Christian Moffitt here with you today on the other side of the 5 o'clock hour on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon. We're working on getting Matt Steginger on the phone.
I believe I pronounced that right.
Tough name to pronounce.
I think you did.
Close enough, right? We're going to talk to him about the magic of Tom Izzo, so to speak. Such a great run he's had this NCAA tournament. As a 12 seed in the Final Four, remarkable coaching job. So we're looking forward to talking with him about that. Do you guys think this may be one of the best coaching jobs you've seen in a tournament?
You know, it's just one of those things that every time March rolls around, we don't talk about Michigan State, and their Sparty keeps winning. And they're saying, okay, here they come. And then it's that Tom Izzo effect, and we'll ask Matt about it in a couple minutes here. It's just so impressive what he's able to do. You know, it's you don't talk about Michigan State all year, and then you go, I'm going to put him in the Elite Eight anyway, regardless of seed, because it's that Tom Izzo effect. You know, you can't fight the effect.
Yeah, I mean, nobody was thinking about this team coming in. This has probably been their worst team in a few years. They lost a lot of talent to the NBA last year, and they came in as a 7 seed, and we see it year after year, but this is probably his, like I said again, his least talented roster in a long time, and he's made it to the Final Four, beat a lot of good teams, Virginia, Louisville. I mean, this is an unbelievable coaching job by Tom Izzo.
Really is, and it seems like, you know, year after year, March is Izzo time, and it's always fun to watch him coach in the NCAA tournament. Anyway, while we work on getting him on the line, let's
talk. He's not upset that we talked to Dan first, you know.
Well,
hopefully,
you know,
he still likes us.
I was just going with the time that he gave me. There's never any, you know, any preference over individuals as far as time goes. It's just a matter of what works for them. But in the meantime, let's shift gears and talk about some baseball action. Opening day, I mentioned, is going to be on Easter Sunday this year. The Cardinals versus the Cubbies. Everybody's favorite losers going up against the Cardinals, perennial playoff contenders. Wouldn't be surprised if they made the playoffs again this year. I want to give, you know, a divisional preview. And let's go ahead and start now with the American League, because I don't really like the American League. So,
yeah, let's get them out of the way.
Let's get them out of the way, exactly. Get the American League out of the way. What are some teams that stand out to you guys going into this this baseball season?
American League, I don't know. I think you have to talk about, a lot of people were talking about Toronto. They made a lot of moves in the offseason, but I don't know. I don't think they have the pitching to really compete for a World Series. So I still like Detroit. They have a really good lineup. They got Yonis Cespedes coming over from Boston. They still have a really good pitching rotation, even though they lost Max Scherzer. I don't know. Those are probably my two teams I would go with. Like Seattle as well, but I don't know. I don't think there's one clear-cut best team in the AL that I would say.
You know, you want to go ahead, Christian, or
well, I think
kind of interjected
I
there.
I think there's actually some interesting kind of battles to watch. I think that AL Central is interesting. You know, you got Kansas City coming off a great year, but also the White Sox and Cleveland, who we've, you know, Cleveland's one of those teams that any year could really have a great season. And then you look down, and the White Sox are only a couple, you know, little tweaks away, you know, and that's just one of those things that I think that's going to be a really interesting division to watch. Along with the AL West is one of those times again. Texas, we said, is ready for a horrible season, but they are still the Rangers. We always kind of come in expecting way less than the Rangers than we get, you know, but I think Seattle's a very good team. Seattle's definitely a team to watch, and then Oakland, obviously. And I think those are two interesting kind of coastal battles we got going in the American League.
I think the Oakland A's are going to be in for a down year this year, personally. We see it too many times. The A's will be contenders for 2 or 3 years. Then they'll kind of go on a fire sale of sorts. You get rid of all their guys, Yonis Cespedes, Samardzija.
Which I still disagree with.
That was a horrible – I mean, Cespedes really kept them from – you know, winning the AL West last year, after they got rid of them, they really declined and ended up being a wild card. And Christian, I'm glad you mentioned the Chicago White Sox, because I think that they are in a position now to really take the AL Central. You look at the moves that they made this offseason. They got Samardzija. They got Melky Cabrera out in left field now. They got Adam Eaton from the Diamondbacks. He's in center field now for them.
Which I disagree with, too. That's a couple years removed, but I still disagree with that one because coming off the time when that's my team, you know, Arizona and everything, I disagree with that because they brought up Eaton to be a Diamondback, you know, raised him in that farm system and then shipped him off, which was crazy to me because he was supposed to be the long-haul guy. I think Chicago got a steal.
Oh, he's a good, scrappy player. Oh, totally. He plays hard. He plays great defense out in center field. I love Adam Eaton.
I think he's a fantastic center fielder. You mentioned his defense is what makes him such a valuable player. And then you look at their rotation, and like I mentioned, they got Samardzija, who could be an ace on an LSU team, but he's pitching behind Chris Sale, who is just an outstanding pitcher. And then you top that off with Jose Quintana and then John Danks.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a dank pitcher, so to speak.
Nice.
They have a big nice prospect, Carlos Rodon.
Carlos Rodon, yeah.
NC State, I believe, who's he's just about ready. He'll probably be up sometime this season. He's a stud. So that rotation's looking good coming into the season, at least.
They're a very good looking team, in my opinion. Not to mention Jose Abreu, the stud who last year launched 40 some odd home runs.
I think it was 37 was his final total. Yeah, he did like 3 something.
And he missed a little bit of time there. I think he missed about a month or so with injury.
Mm-hmm. He broke
Albert's record for home runs in a month.
Yeah, I mean, he was just on a tear. And then you pair that with the power of Adam LaRoche, the designated hitter. I think Chicago's a team to really look out for. They've built a pretty decent team out there. And they got
Hawk Harrelson in the booth. I mean, you can't underestimate Hawk Harrelson.
How can you not love Hawk?
I mean, love Hawk.
He invented the Hawk walk.
Gotta love Hawk.
Gotta love Hawk.
Gotta love Hawk.
Moving back over to the AL West, like I mentioned, I don't think Oakland will be a team to... I mean, it could surprise you. I mean, they do every now and then. They get these young, chippy guys that are able to go out there and string wins together, and it's kind of remarkable the fashion in which they do it. They could very well be a team to reckon with, but I see them finishing third in the American League West. Ahead of the Texas Rangers. Sorry, Matt.
I think you're mistaken. I think the Rangers will come in second. Mariners will come in first. I think Angels and the A's will kind of duke it out for third and fourth, but I, again, see the Astros coming in last. I don't see anything, you know, remotely close to an improvement.
I don't know. I think Houston's a tough team to figure out. They have a lot of young guys, and I like that. I like a bunch of homegrown guys. I'm trying to think of the offseason acquisitions they've made.
They got Evan Gattis.
That's right.
They signed Colby Rasmus. They traded for a couple more guys. I can't remember who, but
Houston's my surprise team for this year. I think Houston might make a run that surprises a lot of people and may even end up being a wild card team. I think they're going in the right direction. I think getting Evan Gattis is huge because it actually gives them some pop in their lineup, which they've lacked over the past 2 or 3 years. So Houston's kind of a surprise team. I think it's the Mariners' time to take this division. Seattle's been getting better. Obviously, signing Cano was huge for the Seattle Mariners. I think he's going to come around and end up having a very good season for Seattle. And I think the Mariners may very well take the American League West. And then, again, you know, as far as second place goes, you got to look at the Angels. I mean, the Angels are just star-studded.
Without Josh Hamilton.
Hamilton.
Yeah, he hasn't really done much over the last
year. He hasn't really contributed to their well-being
at all. It's like it's the same thing as like, you know, A-Rod. He's old. He's, you know, he's past his prime. But the name in the lineup says something. You know, I think Josh Hamilton's name alone, you know, as a pitcher, I wouldn't really want to pitch to him. I know he's not done much, but it's the presence of it's the principle of him being there.
I don't know. I don't believe in that whole name in the lineup thing. I mean, Texas has a lot of names in the lineups, and they'll probably win 60 games this year. So
I give him 81.
I don't see the name in the lineup thing, especially with Josh Hamilton. Maybe if he had one bad year, but he's had a few bad years now, and I don't think if you're a pitcher, you're going up there and you're scared to pitch Josh Hamilton anymore. So I don't believe in that name in the lineup would really make a difference. I think they'll be able to plug someone in there. and they'll be just as good as Josh Hamilton.
Got a bit of a breaking news. Sorry to interrupt, Eric. Coming out of Tuscaloosa now, Tyron Jones has been dismissed from the football team following his marijuana arrest earlier this morning. So Nick Saban acting quickly to save face of the program. Already dismissed Jonathan Taylor yesterday.
And yeah, it's two
Tyron Jones now.
And Geno Smith's still on the team.
And that's something that we could talk about later on, about Geno Smith and what Alabama does with a guy that seems to have a substance abuse problem. We'll talk about that in a bit there, but... carry on, Eric. Sorry, I hated to interrupt there. But
I was wrapping up there. I mean, I just don't think that Josh Hamilton is really that big of an impact player anymore. And I think if you're the Angels, you can probably call up some young guy who's going to give you more energy, more games, because Josh Hamilton's been hurt a lot. And I just think that they'll be able to plug in where Josh Hamilton was, and he won't really have much of a drop-off.
Yeah, I don't think having the name in the lineup is really
big
deal. Well, there's maybe a few guys throughout history, if you saw their name in the lineup, it might rattle your cage a little bit. Currently in the league, I think one of the guys that would, you know, kind of rustle my jammies if I had to face as a pitcher, maybe David Ortiz.
Yeah,
you know, just knowing
he's
I'm going
produces.
Up.
He produces.
Exactly.
It's not just a name. He has production to that name.
Mickey. And Pujols. Absolutely, Mickey. Yeah, be a little.
Yeah, but all these guys
Pujols
are still producing. They aren't just names. Josh Hamilton's just a name now who hits 250 with 15 home runs a season.
Well, it's a name. It's a name with a lot of black marks on it. You know, especially off the field issues. Yeah, it's funny. Every guy we named, there's the off the field issues going on, but the production is there with all the rest. But Hamilton was just. He wasn't even a great outfielder.
He was just a good hitter. Yeah. I mean, his defense was awful. And I'm saying that as a Rangers fan. I know firsthand, talking about that last out.
You're a Rangers fan?
A little bit. I don't know if you could tell. I don't know.
I had no idea, Matt.
I don't really like to talk about it that much. You know.
You're the only American League fan though on this crew right here.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to pick a
national. Yeah, Pirates, Giants, and what? You said Diamondbacks? You're an Arizona guy?
Diamondbacks, yeah.
That surprises me.
If I had to pick a
Colorado
National League team, I'd probably pick, you know, the Nats, Nationals, or
maybe like the Giants. You know,
I don't know if I told you. No, I went to AT&T Park for a baseball game, and it was Matt Cain's Perfecto.
It's the best venue in baseball, in my opinion, to watch a game.
I'm not going to lie. It was pretty. Just I don't like it being 60 degrees, hot chocolate weather in June.
See, I love that. Because where I live in California, it's always hotter than, you know, heck. and it's funny, we'll leave for a game, you know, at 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's 109 out, you know, in June, July, and we drive to the city, and as soon as we drive through the Caldecott Tunnel, which gets you pretty much into the Bay Area, into the Oakland area, it's like 55 degrees, and you're just like, oh, this is really nice. This is awesome.
They were selling hot chocolates and blankets when I was there, and I said, what is going on? Where am I?
Well, see, the funny thing is, during the wintertime, it'll be 40 degrees in Lodi, where I live, and in San Francisco, it'll be 65, 70. It's, you know, the best summer I ever spent was a winter in San Francisco. It's nuts how the weather is out there. And I actually had a friend at Arizona State that is from Boston, has been to Fenway Park, and, you know, in October, during, you know, a playoff run, and he said the coldest he's ever been was sitting at AT&T Park watching a game. Because it's true, you get the gusty wind, you'll get 15, 20 mile per hour wind gusts in 40-degree weather with fog in the air, and it's pretty chilly. It's very chilly. So, but AT&T Park is still a fun venue. All in all, who do you think takes, and this is way too early takes here, but who do you think takes the AL crown going into the World Series?
I have to go with the Angels. I was about to pick the Tigers, and I remembered about their dreadful bullpen that gives up 8 runs a game in every playoff game, so I'm going to go with the Angels right now. I think their lineup will be able to do enough damage. I think they have good enough pitching with Garrett Richards. Jared Weaver.
I couldn't remember.
I was thinking of the Weaver name there, but I think they'll be good enough.
Yeah, Jeff is a less successful Weaver.
Does Jared Weaver finally have the breakout season that we've been waiting for?
I don't know if he has a breakout season.
I think Jared Weaver's been great.
He's just been solid.
I followed Jared Weaver for a lot of years.
He's been consistent. I'm you know, does he step up and finally, you know, take that Cy Young year?
I don't think so. He's getting up there in age, so I don't think he's really going to step up and take that that crown. But I think he'll be solid enough. I think that pitching staff will be solid enough to carry them. I think they take the AL crown.
I think they'll struggle in a division that's going to be a lot better, though, you know, because you get those 18 games against the division teams, and, you know, so they might struggle there. I like the pick of the Angels. However, for me, I think it's someone coming out of the Central. And I can't think of who, but I'm leaning towards Chicago or Detroit. I don't know what it is about Chicago this year. There's something about the White Sox. And maybe this is going to be a different conversation in about 2.5 months when they're already 20 games back.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about baseball. The beautiful thing about baseball is somebody could be 20 games back in May and still make, you know, still win the division. Baseball is such an up and down sport. And again, these were just way too early predictions. I just want to kind of get a feel of where we're all at on, you know, as far as who we think is going to be a powerhouse. For me, I'm going to have to go with the Red Sox. It's an odd year, which means it's their time. And then, you know, next year in 2016, the Giants again will rise and take the World Series. But I like Boston. I think they addressed some of the holes that they had on their team from last season. I think the addition of Pablo Sandoval, despite how fat he is, I think he can still...
He's working on that Christian physique.
Yeah, he's working. He's like, I want to be like Zach Tigard. I'm going to hire Zach Tigard as my personal trainer. He's been... I think having him in a lineup with David Ortiz, you have two guys that are 290 pounds and can just launch balls. I think it's going to...
And Napoli's hitting broken bat home runs.
Exactly, oh, and no. Napoli. So you have Napoli, Sandoval, and David Ortiz in a lineup. That's a pretty powerful lineup. And I think Sandoval provides enough defense to, you know, despite how large he is, I think he provides a good level of defense. So I think Boston's a pretty solid team up and down. I think the pitching is good enough to get them there. And I really think the AL East just isn't as strong as some people think it is. I don't think the Yankees are going to contend. I don't think the Rays are going to contend. And the only team I think they have to look out for really is Toronto. So I'm going to go with the Boston Red Sox as my team in the American League. On the other side of the break, we're going to switch gears to the National League and talk the Premier League in baseball, as I like to put it, because they actually let their pitchers hit. They don't cop out and sign a player just to hit. That's my personal opinion. So stick around. You don't want to miss that. You're listening to the Student Section here on 90.7 The Capstone.